I was glad when I got over there and discovered that there were actually stairs over there. I may have been just stuck. Patience. It's one of those things, right? It's one of those things that you want everybody around you to have. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and don't lose hope. Wait for the Lord. Patience is one of those things that really makes the world a better place. Sometimes God really needs to give us patience, because if at that moment he gave us strength, we would also need to enter the witness protection program. We would need a new identity and a one-way ticket to a non-extraditing country. Patience, waiting until later for what you want now. You know, when you're waiting, it can seem like waiting is the hardest thing in the world. But there actually are some things that are harder than waiting. One of those is wishing you had waited. But as we teach our kids here at Cornerstone about patience this month, we're teaching about this life app, waiting until later for what you want now. We're giving them some tools or the things to help guide their minds while they're waiting and while they're feeling like they can't wait. And I thought it would be good for us to at least not let them have too much of an advantage over us. So I'm going to tell you what they're learning, so maybe we can learn it ourselves and get a head start. The first week of this month, they looked at Genesis 25 and the story of Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. And because he was impatient, he ended up losing something that he couldn't get back. So he had to suffer consequences of not waiting. And the bottom line of that lesson is, when you think you can't wait, think twice. Then they were looking at Exodus 32, the story of the Israelites at Mount Sinai, and they couldn't wait for Moses to get back down from the mountain, and so they built a golden calf. And they worshiped the golden calf instead of God, and they suffered consequences for that. And the bottom line to that lesson is, when you think you can't wait, think about what's true. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Anyone who is patient has great understanding, but anyone who gets angry quickly shows how foolish he is." The bottom line is, when you think you can't wait, don't lose your cool. And then the last lesson of the month will be about Hannah in 1 Samuel. And she was struggling, waiting to have a child. She wanted a son. So as she did, she poured her heart out to God. And the bottom line to that lesson is, when you think you can't wait, talk to God about it. The foundation of the orange approach to education that we do is that we'll keep talking about this, reminding that, yellow and red make orange. Yellow stands for the church, which is the light of the world, and red stands for family, which is a place of unconditional love, and the church and the family working together is the way we believe is the best to build a foundation of faith. But it also recognizes, this approach recognizes that we as parents have the primary responsibility for building a foundation of faith in our kids. But we as a church want to partner with parents. But sometimes, here's one of the things that goes on in our lives, is that some of us tend to be busy people. And sometimes when you talk about things to do to build a foundation of faith in your children, it sounds suspiciously like we're giving you more stuff to do. And But we don't know of anybody, we've never met a parent that said, I don't care whether my children have a foundation of faith. But we have talked to a lot of parents who would like help in knowing how to do that. So we give our parents a lot of resources to help them, but also we let you know what your kid is learning in class and in small group so that you can focus on it through the week, because you have so much more time with them. But what we want you to understand is we're not asking you to do more. We just feel like we need to help each other to do better. We're not asking you to do more, but to try to do better. Our goal is to help us do better. One of the most important things is prioritizing and making sure you do the most important things. And one of the parenting principles that we emphasize is imagine the end. A lot of times in our busy lives, we have so many things going on. We have so many hopes and dreams for our children. There are so many things that we want to accomplish that sometimes we don't take time to think about what's most important. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Here is Moses was giving this teaching to Israel and talking to parents about how they needed to impress God's commands on their children. But it said it starts off with by emphasizing the fact that God is one, and that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And many, many centuries later, Jesus would say that's actually the most important command that there is. And all the other, the law and the prophets, hang on this command to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we believe that applies to our parenting as well, that our kids need to understand that loving God, heart, soul, mind, and strength is the most important command. And one of the points that we want to grasp as parents is that it doesn't really matter what our kids know if they don't know what really matters. It doesn't really matter what our kids know if they don't know what really matters. You know, one of the challenges, parenting can be a challenge. Parenting is a challenge, right? Yeah. One of the challenges is that we are called to model what we're teaching our kids. So if we want our kids to learn patience, what we have to do is model patience. We can't reasonably expect our children to learn and embrace qualities of character that we don't demonstrate. You know, we want our kids to get this patience thing, and we want them to get it right now. You know, if my kids don't get patience this week, I'm just going to go coronary, you know. But the thing is, if we go about trying to teach our kids patience in an impatient way, it defeats the purpose. And you see, that's really the unfair part here. Yeah. Is that we have to demonstrate patience in our parenting approach. But like I said, it's one of those things that we want people that we interact with to show us patience. But we have to model that to our children. But it's not that we have to be perfect parents. I say this every time we have an FX Live Sunday. Every time that we talk about building a foundation of faith in our kids, I always say, because this is something that's hard for us to get, and I need to be reminded of it all the time, and that being a good parent is not about being a perfect parent, whatever that is. But it involves giving our children a front row seat on the work of the grace of God in our lives. So teaching our kids patience is going to involve talking to them about things, ways that we struggle being patient. You know, we live in a culture that doesn't value waiting. We live in a culture of instant gratification. We want things now. And what we see in ourselves, and we can certainly see it in our kids, there's some of our kids struggle with this more than others. It just seems to be just woven into the fabric of who they are, is they want what they want right now, and it's hard to wait. But as we approach trying to teach our kids patience, I think it's good for us as parents to step back and say, you know, am I demonstrating patience in my parenting? We experience a lot of pressure at times being a parent. And I think it's easy to lose perspective and to lose a sense of priority when we're under pressure. And we're pressured by our culture to do many things. And I think we're pressured by our culture, sometimes subtly and sometimes not so subtly, to kind of pick up the yardstick that the culture uses to measure success. We're concerned with, we want our kids to do well in school. We want them to do well in elementary school so they can do well in middle school, so they can do well in high school and go to the right college and get the right job and marry the right person and live in the right neighborhood. But they can do all those things, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things in and of themselves, but we can be so pressured to succeed that we forget about loving God heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that has to be the focus or the foundation of everything. But when we talk about imagine the end, it's asking us as parents to think about what's most important. When we get to the point of when our kids leave home or when our kids grow up, what will be central in their hearts? What will we have communicated is the most important thing? And you know, we can't do everything as parents, so we have to decide what we're going to focus on. And in the middle of everything, I don't know if you relate to this, but sometimes we find ourselves making a really big deal out of things that are not really the biggest deal. Something like our kid's hairstyle somehow becomes a hill we're going to die on. But the deal is, a little bit later, they're going to be just as embarrassed by that hairstyle as you are now. And you know, I'm not trying to dictate your family's fashion sense or anything like that. But you know, some pictures of my family and some pictures of me from years past should be kind of a cautionary tale about what can happen making bad choices there. But you know what? Even though I was rocking a mullet in the 80s, I lived through it. And even though, you can just look at old pictures on Facebook and see what choices my kids have made. But, you know, we all live through it. We all live through it, and it turns out, you know, it's not really that big a deal. It's so much more important for me to help them grasp and to understand a God that can be loved heart, soul, mind, and strength. But isn't it easy to get to the end of a week and think, I've spent all my time, and the wrestling that I've done with my kids was spent on things that in the whole scheme of things, it's not really the most important thing. But it took up all of our time so that we didn't have time to focus on the things that in the final analysis are the most important things. Our kids need us to be patient with them. But I think there's a really important step for us being patient with our kids that needs to come first, and that is learning how to be patient with ourselves. In order to be able to take a deep breath and understand that, you know, our kids are on a journey. They're going through a process of growing up. I think it's helpful to understand, you know, I'm a work in progress. I'm on a journey. God's taking me somewhere. God is not finished with me yet either. But I think in our reaction with in our interactions with our kids, we need to help them understand that we're going to go with them on this journey. And talk to them patiently. Not that we don't give direction, and not that there are not consequences for bad choices or doing things rashly or making, you know, being impatient. There's consequences to that. But they need to feel from us that it's going to be okay. And they can see us wrestling and learning how to be patient with ourselves. And then that'll translate to us being patient with them, and then them learning along the way to be patient with themselves. Part of it, too, is just one of the most helpful parenting tools is treating others, our children, the way we want to be treated. Talking to our children as if we actually want to be friends later. You know, it's something I find really interesting. Our culture is very focused on self-esteem. We're all about, and I want my kids to have a healthy self-esteem. But we tend to go about it by things like I've mentioned before, like, you know, everybody gets a trophy. Because we don't want anybody to feel like, you know, they didn't do the best. And, you know, I grew up in those days. It's unthinkable now, but, you know, only winners got trophies when I was a kid. I'm still struggling with that, you know. But I really believe learning to wait, learning to tell yourself no, or at least tell yourself no for now, has a big impact on self-esteem. You know, when you read the Bible just doesn't talk a whole lot in our language about self-esteem, but it does talk about self-control. And I think there's a huge correlation between self-esteem and self-control. I think one of the most valuable things that we can teach our kids is how to wait, and how to wait patiently, how to accept no for now, at least, as an answer. But of course, the biggest challenge there is, first of all, helping ourselves to learn to wait patiently. One of the things that I love most about this church, and there are many things I love about it, but it's this, and that is we're all in this together. We are a spiritual family that's about letting God take us somewhere, and together we're also taking our kids somewhere. We're doing that together. But even going on a journey like the great story of Abraham, a part of that is it's a journey. And what we're wired to say on a journey is, are we there yet? And I believe that for us to learn to be patient with ourselves, it's not being so focused on the destination that we miss walking daily in the footsteps of Jesus, walking on this journey with God, and understanding that God has a big story that we're a part of, and that God is a good God, and that what we're waiting on when we wait on God is something good. When we find ourselves waiting and we think we can't wait, we feel like it's the hardest thing there is. But waiting's not the hardest thing. Wishing we had waited is harder. Running ahead without God is harder. As parents, as our kids learn about patience this month, I think it's a great time for us to learn about patience and to remind ourselves to prioritize and to make sure that we're focusing on what's most important. Let's close out with a prayer.